Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome to City Alpha 3, the Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am your host, Daniel Prue, and joining me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Darren and Philip. Guys, I hope you're ready for some public domain movie watching, because we are about to embark on it for the third or fourth possible time in Star Trek. So, how's it going, guys? Did you guys bring some popcorn?
Oh. No, you know, it's 3D this time, right? I mean, kind of. It's kind of, you know, actually what it reminds me of is in Minority Report, they have a similar kind of 3D technology where it's literally just a 2D image that they've pushed parts out to like pseudo 3D. But yeah, you know, I mean, I guess we can't colorize things in the 38th century or whatever this is, but it's a good play. It's a good play.
I will say the venue is a step up from Enterprise, which was just a small conference room.
It's the only room they have that's big enough to fit everybody.
Well, they could have done what they did here. They could have done what they did in Discovery and they had it in the cargo bay what is the name of the room?
Shuttle bay.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking of.
One has cargo. One has shuttle. Who knows what they're called?
I heard that all ships are cargo.
Oh, wow. That's until a ship gets its warp core, then it graduates from cargo to shuttle.
I have to admit, I mean, it was fun. This is funny to me when I heard, because it's one of those things that reminds me of like so it's on YouTube, the funny trailers. They don't call it that. But anyway, the funny trailers guy on YouTube or, you know.
Oh, Honest Trailers.
Yeah, thank you. And at the end, They always have, like, the guy say stuff because he has that movie voice. You know, you can put in comments.
Right. He's like, say this, say that.
So, like, the computer voice, even though this is not the one we're used to in Star Trek, but the Discovery, like, it'll say anything now. And so it's like, report, please come in for a surprise. I'm like, that's not a surprise.
I love real when status. It said surprise.
Yeah. That's not
a surprise. Yeah. I thought that was.
It's like. Yeah. If like, are we all going to get in there and then you're going to just decompress it and that's the surprise as you wipe out the crew?
I'm like, I want to be like the new ensign. Like, is that like yellow alert or not black alert? Where do I go for my surprise station?
What alert is FUD alert? I don't know. What color is that?
Mandatory fun.
I know.
Mandatory FUD alert.
Shuttle bay for mandatory fun. Like, you know, the people are in there in the shuttle bay going like, I really had stuff to do in my quarters. I don't know.
No, I feel bad for the people who work in the shuttle bay. They're like, oh man, I gotta move like all those cargo containers. No, they want to, but they can't because it's literally like Captain Saru walked down and said, sorry, you can't do your job. The entire crew's coming to watch a movie. So
I'm depolarizing. Just... No, too loud.
Okay, nope. So, no.
I'll just wait.
Okay, now I went from an engineer in the shuttle bay to
movie usher.
A movie usher. Yeah. I've got to pick up people's popcorns and stuff.
I forget, is there a physical door that they can close, or is it always just a force field?
I would hope there's a physical door.
I think there's a physical door, because I'm imagining if it's just a force field, let's say the ship is flying and it turns and there's like a star, and now it's like shining in. Well, they're trying to watch a movie, and that's really distracting.
I think originally they had to close it during Black Alert. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they just normally when they fly around, it's usually just the force field. But
now, and I know we keep talking about it, but I've yet to do
guys, that. We know more about the shuttle bay than we do about the warp core main engineering on this ship, guys. That's a problem.
This does make me want to rewatch. I can't remember the name of anything. The Short Trek. Because that also had
Calypso.
Yeah, it also had public domain movies.
Right, that's true.
Like, though, it's been so long since I've seen it, so I feel I shouldn't even say anything. I don't remember. I know they sort of had a more 3D element to it.
On the bridge, yeah, where they... The bridge,
well,
yeah.
Well, no, he was dancing during the dancing part is what I'm
talking about. The dancing, yeah. No, that's on the bridge, I'm pretty sure.
That's on the bridge?
Oh, yeah, bridge is huge. Bridge is really big.
Yeah.
Remember, Short Trek, like, they pick two sets, mm-hmm. and then they make the entire episode out of that.
And one actor. And yeah. then... okay, so hang anyway. On, but before we... Yeah. You know, we haven't really done the introduction here, so let's... this week, we had the new episode called Forget Me Not for Discovery Season 3. And, you know, it was an episode, and, I've been hearing really positive things, and I watched it, and I'm going to hold off on telling you what my opinions are. I want to hear what you guys think, just as kind of an overall general impression. We get to see a return of an old, a race that we're very familiar with the Trill, and it's a pretty interesting episode. So, I don't know, what do you guys think? Darren, what's your...
Yeah, overall, I enjoyed the episode. It did have a very, if we want to call it A and B, or Burnham and B, like, they're very separate. Like, it almost felt like two completely, like, with no overlap. It's like, okay, we're going to have, you know, Adira and Burnham go down to the planet, and then everybody else is going to do this, you know, and we're not even going to talk to each other during this difference, which again isn't bad. It was just normally there's a little more interactivity between the two plots, but I really liked the crew plot. I mean, I like all this stuff we're doing with Saru, and you know, because we've seen enough of this character, and it's really interesting with Saru because we saw him progress from, you know, scared Kelpian all the way to, you know, captain of this ship. And usually when we meet the captain of a show like Picard or Sisko or something like that, you know, we're just told like, here's the captain. Like, we never see them earn it. And so in this regard, we're still seeing him progress in this cut off world where, you know, he asks the computer and it kind of creepily responds very specifically. But no, I really like that. I really like diving into Trill. Like, I mean, it's not really mysticism. Yeah,
in,
yeah.
Diving in.
Set jacuzzi to mind meld, and you're all good from there. But that was cool. I actually, even more so than the joined part, I really liked all the other people, like the governor and the different tendants and the colors, and like, I want to. They told us like just enough, but it's like we still don't know so much about Trill and the Trillians.
So before I move on, and I don't want to talk about this yet, we will talk about this, but you brought it up, and earlier, a couple episodes ago, you're like, I remember you, Darren, you specifically said, I don't think we'll ever hear the term sphere data again. And it turns out...
You're right.
It turns
you're right.
Out,
I did.
Yeah, no, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. I just wanted to bring that up. What did you think, Philip?
Well, they were going to get rid of it, and then they're like, dang, we made that Short Trek, so we have to make it fit in continuity. Yeah. So bring back the spear data.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I actually thought it was really a sweet episode. It was probably my favorite episode of this season. And of course, that doesn't say much, right? I wouldn't say it's probably, you know, obviously we all know I don't like Discovery, but I think this would probably rate in my top five Discovery episodes. I thought it was sweet. It was nice. We'll get into it. I feel like the crew story was nice. I think if I delve into it, I'll have some criticisms because that's who I'm going to be. But I think like to the Trill story and to Adira. I always want to say Akira. Adira's story was sweet and nice. I don't know why Michael had to be there, but she was. yeah. I like that. There's the part where.
Well, see, you think you're in the writer's room and you're like, who could be there? And then they just toss all those out the window and say, it's got to be Michael.
Should we give Culver can go down into the planet and have more lines and he could have an episode and it'd be great? Nah, he gets the first 5 minutes.
I mean, granted, he gets a lot in this episode.
He does. But it's just like, what? I agree with
Counselor
you.
Counselor Culber.
I thought the exact same thing. And then for a half
they even
a second,
mention it. They even, like, Adira's even like, why not Culber? And it's like...
Because
why not?
Remember
Culver.
Who the main character was. He's like, oh wait, what am I doing? I feel stupid, you know. Yeah, I do. You know, without going into everything here, but They did not say, I mean, this isn't a big criticism, but they didn't ever say the word counselor. Like, we don't have a counselor. We should have a counselor.
He's
mental
basically
health.
The counselor.
But I mean, like,
Counselor Culver.
That's I just feel like and I don't know if this is the way they're thinking about it. I mean, this is the way I think about it because I'm a nerd. Maybe in the 23rd century Starfleet, mental health just wasn't on their spectrum. Wasn't until later in the 24th century they're like, hey, we should have counselors aboard.
Has the graph. He's like, look, we all look fine when we answer how's our job, but we turn on to like how's our mental health, and it's all red.
So, but I just feel like, you know, that the words weren't said. Not that they have to be, I guess, but you know, anyway. But no, overall, I like the episode. I would never invite Giorgio to a social occasion. That's dumb. Why would you do that? But anyway.
No. Gosh, yeah, I don't. Well, and again, I think someone pointed out, like, okay, it's pretty common knowledge now that she's Mirror, like, because Detmer calls her Emperor, or it's not Detmer, someone calls her Emperor in the haiku contest. So it's like, this isn't a secret anymore. So why is she given any sort of status?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I agree with you guys both for the most part. I liked the episode. I thought it was pretty good. It almost felt like a checklist of all the things, frustrations that I had with Discovery for the first two seasons. Like, they're slowing it down. They're focusing on some characters. There's some interesting sci-fi stuff to talk about. And it's not, like, so heavy into what the hell are we supposed to do this whole season. It's just kind of pushing it along a little bit. And I really like all this. I like the ship stuff, like you, Philip. I know there's some things, you know, there's some shortcuts that they take, and there's some, but we're dealing with it. And I like the opening with Culber talking about the state of the crew. I thought that was great. I thought that was fantastic. Really good stuff. And
Culber's becoming one of my favorite characters. Oh, like, yeah. They're actually giving him stuff to do, and it's not just the Doctor love interest. You know, he's actually like a well-rounded, and this tragedy he's gone through and the craziness, like, he's applying that towards his counseling duties.
I would just, and this is, you know, me being me, I would just once have someone in Discovery make a log that was just like really professional. But instead, everyone speaks in poetic verse.
And transmit it to who?
Yeah.
Because there's no Federation.
Every log.
Well, that's not true. We're about to find out, Darren. There is a Federation. It's just very small. It's just real small. Yeah.
And not on Earth. Because we found that out.
I just think how every log is like, personal log. The feelings are like a beach with the waves crashing on. As I walk around, I feel my soul. And it's never like, personal log. We're en route to Grid Epsilon, where they're all engaged in, you know, I get it. They're trying to.
Well, that's a TNG. That's Bourbon era mission logs. Like, that actually tells you what's going on. Tell you what's going on, Philip. We have to show you.
They both serve different purposes for the story's sake. So that's all it is. So what do you guys want to talk about first? Do we want to talk about the ship stuff first?
Trill stuff.
All right, we'll talk about the Trill stuff. So Adira and Adira, as we found out in the last episode, is a Trill host, but
she's human.
So, and that's obviously never been heard of. So they decide to sort of try to unblock the host's memories.
I mean, at first they want to ship her off the planet. Somebody just wants to help her, though.
No. I'm talking about in the.
Oh, you're sorry. You're sorry. You're right. We're not even on the planet yet.
Not even there yet. So they're like, let's go to the planet. Let's figure out what's what. So they get there. They're kind of nervous that maybe Trill aren't going to be nice people. Which, okay.
It's been 800 and something years. Like,
this was the conversation I had with Jessica. And I'll admit, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong. I'll say that. But anyway, because they set up the story. And, you know, I'm in my head about how to do writing and all that stuff, which is usually where I am. But I think they set it up fine at the beginning, you know, because it's all about, you know, a goal obstacle, you know, for characters. You know, you already want to have a goal. There's an obstacle. Anyway. But anyway, so the goal is to go to Trail. The obstacle is we don't know what's going to happen or, you know, what's, you know. But I feel like they just, like, really laid it up thick, like, but what if, I don't know if we should go. They could be dicks. I don't know. And I remember talking to Jessica. I was like, why are they assuming the worst? Maybe, you know, they'll be fine.
I don't know. Things haven't really been going their way. So, I mean, I don't.
But then they go to Trail, and the Trail are dicks. And I'm like, okay, just everyone in the future just sucks. I mean, it's the Earth. It's Trill. Just once I'd like to beam down, and everyone's like, hey, glad to see you. Come on in. But no, no.
Well, and it was interesting with when they get down to the planet, because I liked those moments where...
You mean
like,
Trill? When they get down to Trill? Where
yes,
the Trill are?
Sorry, the Trill planet.
Speaking of Trill.
The planet of the Trill. Trill Prime. I liked how like they recognize like the uniforms because yeah, of course, of all the species that are still around, these are the ones that would remember the old Federation most.
Because I don't know if they were joined though. So
here's the thing.
This is the impression I got is that everybody's joined.
No,
because
they made it very clear, and this is the biggest change in.
They said there's not enough hosts.
Trill lore, right? Everybody could host. And, like, according to Deep Space Nine, all Trill have the ability to host. In fact, it was something to attain. It was something to, like,
right.
only for the most elite of the elite because there were so few symbionts
right.
and so many people that, I mean, anybody could host. So
right.
it was, like, there is no shortage of a host.
But
and that's why it's like.
That's a conspiracy, though. We don't know if that conspiracy has ever been revealed.
But see, I think it's the other way now. I think the impression I got from what she was saying is that so many symbionts died, and Trill like the population like of the hosts died during the burn. That there's now not enough hosts to go around, and everybody's joined. Because now it's a problem where, like, they have symbionts and they might not survive because they have no host for them. And that's the whole reason that they actually consider at the end.
Why would that have swapped? I don't understand why that would have happened.
I think it's because I'd have to watch the episode again, but the impression I got was when the burn happened, the host population was decimated.
That would mean their planet population was decimated. That would mean the population of total Trill, not symbionts, was decimated.
Right. But again, we don't know, like, if for a species of joined that, like, do the Trill mostly hang out on Trillia? Or do they, you know, or do they go out into the galaxy? We'll just change the name every time we talk about it.
Yeah,
again, I could be wrong, but I got the impression that the Trill host population had been decimated, and that's why it made sense at the end where they were like, you've given us new hope and a new future that it's possible for a human host to be a host because that's the problem. They don't have enough hosts.
Oh, no, I agree with you. The episode sets it up as if there are more...
Symbionts.
Everything's coming in symbionts.
Yeah.
I just don't know why that happened or how it
makes
sense.
Yeah, I don't think they went into total detail on it, but no. I think we're on the same page. We got the same impression, but I agree with you. It's the burn, which is the catch-all term.
For everything.
Yeah. It's like,
why aren't there any burn?
Well, yeah, it should be like, oh, we have no record of this type of ship burn.
It's like in The Simpsons when Lucy Lawless was asked at the convention, why did this happen? They would just say wizard did it. So anytime in Star Trek Discovery, the burn.
Or like at the end when she's flying and they're like, wait, Xena can't fly. I told you, I'm not Xena, I'm Lucy Lawless. And it's like, but what? That doesn't make any more sense.
So I watched the episode, or most of the episode, Equilibrium from Deep Space Nine, after I watched this episode. This is the episode where Jadzia finds out that one of her previous hosts was a murderer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They the Trill Symbiote Commission, who gets name dropped in this
episode. Let's just call it, this is the low-budget version of the Trill mind meld. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was good.
It's just about that. And she spends her time on Trill. It's where they get the pools from and all that sort of stuff. All that sort of stuff.
And the white garb you get in to get
in the
pool.
Yeah, their uniforms are pretty similar. What really struck me in regards to how they're portrayed in Deep Space Nine versus how they're portrayed here is a kind of a shift from mostly scientific minded people to mostly mysticism kind of based people as they are here in Discovery. And it was kind of an interesting path. But of course, we only see five of them. We have no idea, like, how right. any of
we
these
only
groups...
saw the reds and the yellows.
And the orange and the yellows and the white.
We know the reds are good.
The white leader.
The yellows
yeah.
are dicks, as we mentioned previously. and I assume the leader is a yellow, former yellow who's been elected leader.
Which, so. It's also funny because I had a moment in the beginning when they took the shuttle down and I was like, wait, can Trill transport? I'm pretty sure they can, but for a second I was like,
I didn't even think
can
of
they?
I wonder.
I was wondering that too.
That's
because
funny. I didn't even think about that.
Well, because I was trying to remember, and I thought in the host in TNG, do they come by shuttle? Like, I thought I remember. I have to watch it again, but I thought I remember at one point Trill couldn't transport because it would hurt the symbiont, and obviously they just got rid of that rule. You know, especially when Jadzia becomes
like
a character.
Makeup.
That's true in the makeup. Well, maybe those are like proto Trill. Like,
only when they're at war do they wear the. No, just...
Okay, whatever. These are all little.
The
kind of
war
minor...
spots.
These are all kind of minor hangups.
Yeah. No, no. It's a lot of heart. A lot of heart.
Yeah. So let's talk about Adira and her journey. And I guess since Michael was there, we'll have to bring her up too.
Why not?
I kind of wish that they didn't. Like, I mean, she could have been there on the planet, but once they put her in the pool, I was like, I would have rather watched this.
That's true.
Journey.
She could have made that whole connection and then come out without having Michael give her the push.
Yeah. Like, you show flashbacks to Adira with her boyfriend. What was his name? I can't remember now. I'm not gonna,
Joel.
Whatever. Gray.
Joel.
Gray, that's right. Oh, yep, you're right. Gray, yep. Yeah. And like that whole journey was, I really like the visual representation of,
oh, when the asteroids start coming.
Oh yeah.
That was cool.
What'd you guys think of that whole storyline?
Well, you know, I think I talked last episode, like, oh, we're going to have the see all the hosts, storyline. I didn't really gonna be like the next episode. Cause I joked about which characters would on Discovery would play all the hosts. But I mean, I really did. You know, it's this young. I believe she's referred to as a she, so I'll say she. This young woman who goes through this trial and having the memory block, and then going through everything, and then what it is to be Trill. The storyline of the Trill themselves about the antagonism wasn't really played up. I mean, it was there just to be antagonistic, I guess. But I mean, I think it's interesting to drill into. I think why. They're so antagonistic. But then, you know, the whole love story, which I think, you know, it's hard to tell a love story in like 10 minutes that's for you to believe it. But I thought they did a good job and it was sweet. And of course, now she has a ghost boyfriend at the end. So that'll be interesting.
We should talk about that because that was interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice. I don't know. None of the other Trill that we've seen have that issue. I wonder where they're going with it.
It's the Katra being... projected
well,
across space.
But again, I think it's the difference between her being a human host. I think is obviously it's like
I guess
burn.
A different kind. And I did just look it up. I did look it up, and I my memory was right. In the host, it's because Odin and Riker are in a shuttlecraft, and that it gets attacked. And then they can't beam him out because he says, no, I can't, because it would kill the symbiont. So they do establish in the host that Trill can't use transporters, which, again, obviously they just throw out that rule because a Starfleet officer who can't use a transporter is not worth a lot in continuity. But, proto-Trill.
It did make me think, because my CBS All Access is giving me issues, so I may have missed this. But, like, when when the asteroid hit and... Gray was dying
on the generational ship. I guess they're on.
You can talk about it just quickly. when Akira's like, "Oh, I'll take it." I'm like, "Are they just gonna like beam the slug from her to her?" Like, there's no doctors around. Like, or does,
no, the robots. The medical orbs, which looked a lot like the salesman robots from that one planet.
Oh, in Picard?
I can't remember.
Oh, from...
No. Like, way back. TNG.
Yeah, TNG
where,
season one.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name, but, like,
the
they do look
kind of
like that.
What you're talking
about.
Yeah. That's why I blocked it out. But yeah, no, I think the only thing that kind of surprised me, and I guess I understand it, but it was kind of strange that, okay, so the Tal symbiont transfers to Gray, and then he's, you know, obviously different, and that's kind of hard on his girlfriend. And then he dies, like, a day later, a week later. Like, it's, I guess, I don't know. It was surprising. I just, it felt like an interesting story choice versus, like, them already being in a relationship and it being something, but not like he just got the symbiont and now he dies. Like, that seems like a bit, I don't know. It was just an interesting story choice.
The timeline was confusing for me also, but because I was like, wait a minute. Didn't that symbiont just send the, or I guess it was 12 years.
Okay. Yeah, it'd been some time.
Yeah.
But I didn't know there was, I mean, I guess we learned now.
Well, didn't they say Admiral Tal died like 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, it wasn't long, I don't think. But he was living on Earth.
Yeah, that does throw me off a little bit.
They were on the generational shift.
Yeah.
I don't know like how that shift happened at all.
So Admiral Tal sends the transmission 12 years ago, and then sometime, maybe like a year later, he gets on this generational ship, and then 2 years.
But his transmission specifically said, come to Earth.
I don't know.
I will give you the path to the whatever.
Anyway.
Anyways, yeah.
Well, can we can we talk about the other hosts then for a second? I know it's not this part, but like we see some Picard era uniforms.
Oh yeah.
And we see, I think we see, is that the oldest we see?
Yeah,
I'm trying to
remember.
Everyone
else seemed to be in civilian garb, but you know, it was like,
well, there
was
there was like three Starfleet people.
Yeah.
There was
the Admiral.
There was like
the Picard,
the Admiral,
and
Admiral would be quote unquote 32nd, and then there was one that I'm assuming is like an in between.
Yeah,
but yeah, that means the Tal symbiont is at least, you know, almost 1,000 years old.
Which I thought
there felt like very few hosts.
I was about
for
to
that
say,
amount of time,
but I'm
like,
I'm not gonna get wrapped around the axle, but I'm like, have they ever established how long symbionts live? And have they ever established,
or how long hosts, or how long Trill live?
Well, the
like,
symbiont
when they're joined.
The Joel. How long? How old is Joel? You know, how long is Dax? How old is Dax? You know, the actual symbiont.
Right.
Like, I don't know how they ever established how long they live. And then, do they? Like, how do more symbionts? I mean, what is their reproduction?
All we're gonna do is tell you about the pools, Philip.
Yeah,
we can't go into any other detail.
That's where they reproduce, is in those pools,
which is
explained.
You know, I guess, but that's a deep dive into Trill, which I know we don't get. But it did make me think, like, because when you show a few hosts, then it's gonna be like, well, it's kind of like reminds me of the Doctor Who. You know, it's like you see all the Doctors, like, wait, there's only 12? Come on now.
at least they have timey wimey to explain.
That's true.
Because did make me think, just real quickly, with the whole Trill, because again, I'm thinking about this now. Can the symbiont exist without a host for any period? Because, like, if you're going to have to go from, like, someone dies and you have to have another host in, like, the next 3 hours, you should have, like, a lot of hosts.
Or you should, like, never have Trill, like a Trill, joined Trill should always travel with an unjoined, like, in
case. You never know.
I don't know. I guess it's just the risk of their species. But
it is weird to me, though, that like the robots knew that she was, or he was a Trill when he died.
Yeah.
And
well, I don't think it was a secret.
Human.
Well, she volunteered as tribute. So,
but that doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, if I volunteer,
the robot should be like, error does not compute. Yeah. You're not a Trill.
You could be like, override safety.
You know. Yeah, could you sign this waiver before we go through this procedure?
Well, there's a right precedent, and
Well, the overall message I feel like we were given for the Trill storyline is acceptance. The reason that it worked for the human
Adira,
named Adira, it worked for Adira is that she was accepted by the Tal symbiont. And she also had to forgive herself for the death of her boyfriend not that she was really, you know, cause of it, but it's still a traumatic event. Yeah. And she kind of, well, actually she had to accept the Tal symbiont, but she also had to accept Gray. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she had fully accepted him at the time of his death, because, I mean, in that flashback scene we see, she's like, I don't get it, like, you're different, you know, and she may, you know, or you've changed from what you were, which of course we're all like, duh, you know, of course that happens, but I like the quilt that she made, you know, and all of the, and it's a little interesting though, because it was like, when I think of quilt, I think of different pieces of fabric, but this was like, it's the same fabric, it's just this shape
tapestry
represents
quilt.
Something, yeah. But
and if you pull one thread of that quilt.
But I think, yeah, once she accepted Gray and worked her way through that traumatic event, you know, that's what clicked it through for all the other Tal hosts. It's interesting. If you think about it, it's like Tal, the symbiote, has to accept you. But that really means that the previous hosts of Tal, who are Tal, have to accept you. So it's like a multi-choice question instead of a single. But
they did break Trill Society's rules, though, because you're not supposed to share the symbiote between like people in a relationship or next of kin.
The rule was you're not supposed to have relationships.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have a relationship that transcends
from a prior
joining.
Host.
That's more the rule.
Well,
yeah, I think that's more the rule.
That should be a rule, because that's very interesting what we're doing now.
Like, well, imagine if you pass it down in your family. Like, the symbiote becomes like an inheritance. Like, that'd be...
I think they specifically made a rule because they didn't want that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I just don't remember it being stated on screen.
I think
I remember the one that Philip said, where it's like you can't have a relationship transcend. Well, but again, you can have friendships transcend. Like Jed's, like Curzon and, you know, Trill Society's dumb. I don't even get it.
Well, I'd have to watch that episode.
Go back to Trill Lanka and, you know.
I'd have to watch that episode again, but I assume, and I'm probably getting it 100% wrong, I should just watch the episode and shut up, that the reason they do that is because you sort of would be stuck in this perpetuity that you would never get out of your life. Like, you never progress. You'd just always be the same relationship over and over and over.
Well,
and over
even
and over.
Esri. Like, Esri stays in basically the same job.
Yeah,
like, I know it's a different division, but it's like with all of the friends, and I'm like, that seems like that would go against Trill, ideology. It's like... Like,
there's a
you
war
know, okay,
going
you're...
on, Darren. We don't have time for you.
Oh, jeez. Burn!
Dominion War. That was the reason.
Just burn it all. Yep. But, well, I mean, we could still talk about more Trill, but I wanted to talk a little at some point, Daniel, about the dinner table scene a little more.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay,
I thought
it
was interesting. I was looking up the actor, if I'm using the right term, who plays Akira, because this is apparently there. Only credit. I mean, that was my quick Google. So I thought, like, well, this is the first time. You know, I thought they did a pretty good job. I mean, I was there with them about their nervousness and relationship
and
love story. And, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and even the other episode. I mean, she's been in a few because we showed her, or two. You're right. Last week. Time moves differently in Discovery. But, I think I like this character. I like the establishment, you know, from the Earth Defense Corps to being on Discovery. Like, everything's plausible and everything's working. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like we just come across some traitor that's going to tell us about how to get to. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing against Neelix.
Though I am a little thrown off, and maybe it's a line of dialogue that I'm taking too literally, because I thought in the last episode, Stamets, or one of them, said, the character is she, that she is like 16 or something, but I don't know if they were just making fun that she was like a wonder kid. But how old is that character supposed to be? Because the actor...
Very young.
Actors are like 23.
Yeah.
Very young.
But I'm like... Because then that threw me off a little bit with the romance. Not that teenagers can't have romance. But it's a different vibe.
Well,
if you're talking about like a 16-year-old and a... How old the boy
is. Well, the actor who played Gray is like 19.
Oh, really? Okay, because Blue's like 23.
I thought it was like teenage love. I thought that... I mean,
which is,
maybe like cusp of adulthood love, but like very young love is what I thought it was.
Oh, really? Yeah. It was hard to tell. I mean, I don't know, because teenagers are stupid. But like, you know, yeah. So, but I thought it was played very well when I don't think about how old they're supposed to be. You know, it's kind of like Romeo and Juliet, and you're like, oh, they're 14 and 13.
Yeah. Anyway, Ian Alexander, who plays Gray, it was born in 2001.
Oh,
so he's 40. 19.
Yeah.
And then...
Blue's, like I said, 23 or something.
Adira... was born in 97.
Yeah.
So Yeah. So they're not. Yeah, they're
babies.
Young.
We're
young,
all getting older, I guess.
But because of the Federation's laws, they have like seniority over anyone else because
the Trill.
Well, actually, too. Sorry, no. That's I'm misthinking of like in Ship of the Line because they move forward and they gain seniority from being in the future because they technically have been active in Starfleet.
Gotcha.
But that's for the Discovery crew, not these people because they didn't go through time. So well, I was misremembering that.
I was confused. Like, okay. Well, I mean, and I know they didn't really explore this much at the end. We didn't have much time. But at the end, you would think she now has all the answers. Like we know. Okay, now you're the...
Yeah, it's unblocked.
Yeah, you know, you met your dude, you know where he was, what he was trying to do, and they say we have a place to go, a direction, so I guess we'll find out, and yeah.
Well,
we had
the vision, we had where at the very end where she sees him
right,
manifest,
right. Yeah.
Which is apparently new, like, maybe that's a... Which I'm going to guess that there is a connection established, but it's not the same as like if it was a Trill host. So I think, and it, which also kind of makes sense. I think for story purposes, they're going to have Gray be the representation of the Trill hosts or the symbiont.
There was plenty of times in Deep Space Nine where Jadzia actually interacted with her past hosts. So
right.
I think that's pretty.
Yeah. No, I mean, they mentioned that it's unusual for like the visualization of a past host in your
mind.
I do think that
Gray is something a little different though. It feels different because like,
because they had
there.
A relation. Well, yeah. Or they had
and,
a relationship.
And a relationship. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Because
I hope it's not something lame.
No.
Well, it takes me back to like Tilly, where Tilly had that person in her mind.
Oh my god, I completely forgot that.
I watched season two. I remember. Yeah. But
no, I think at the end of the day, it was just, it's a story choice. It's like, rather than her being like, I feel the symbiote, the voices of my ancestors telling me that we should go this way. Instead, she'll hear it from Gray. Only she can see. I think that's just what they'll do.
The problem with Discovery is they didn't have enough characters. So I'm glad that we've added Booker. We've added Kira. We've added
the Sphere
Gray,
computer.
Well, we haven't seen Booker, and who knows? We might not see him again for a little while.
Well,
Philip,
go ahead.
What? It's the first episode he's missed out of like the season so far. So,
Philip, I was going to say, great idea. Let's go back to Discovery and talk about the events that happen on board.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Terrible table manners.
So when was it? Season two? Correct me, Philip, if I'm wrong, but there's a scene where Saru, when he's acting captain, he doesn't have a lot of friends to talk to, so he often consults with the computer for what he should do.
We get the list
that was
where he
one.
Asks like the best captains, and that's where we get
that's
like
when Lorca gets captured.
So he does it again, and this is where we learn that control is now part.
No,
sphere data.
No, sphere data.
Sphere data
is
you're
part.
Right. Woof.
Yeah.
Woof. Sphere data.
That's
now,
later in the season,
don't,
Daniel.
Don't speak it, and the writers won't hear you.
Sphere data is now part of the ship,
right.
And it wants them to survive, so it's giving them creepy advice and creepy voices.
And Saru's just like, that makes sense. That's what the computer should do.
Good advice, I guess?
Well,
I don't know. It's weird.
I don't like it. Maybe I don't. Because when the disruption happened, Saru... And I'm not saying it.
You mean like the computer screen
yeah.
be all flickery? Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about my CBS All Access app. But when I don't know if it was Doug Jones or the director or the writing or whatever. It's hard to tell because, again, low opinion of Discovery. I'm like, is Saru didn't notice? Like, he's acting like that didn't happen. Like, it wasn't like a big blurb. The voice didn't change. And he just acted like, I guess that's what we're going to do.
And then it starts talking like a person rather than a computer.
And he's like, diagnostic? That's weird. But then at the end, he's like, it was the sphere data. And I'm like, I feel like we should have a bigger reaction.
Because he doesn't...
No, see, season two, it's sphere data. And season three, it's burn. You know,
he doesn't react to it, and like the way it's shot, he's looking straight ahead, and there's a visualization behind him.
Right. It's like, did he happen to miss that one moment that it flickered because he wasn't looking?
So
yeah.
It's like a,
yeah.
But anyways, the computer tells.
I think if it's a hey, don't pay attention to this. Let's keep moving on. Kind of story point. Like,
yeah.
We've given you enough of an answer, audience. Move on.
So, I mean, because he could have easily gotten the advice of have a dinner with your crew pretty easily from the regular computer. So, you know, I guess maybe we'll follow up on this later.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. They just would have said it more robotically. Like, doesn't matter. You know, yeah. Give them cigars and have a dinner.
They did give some funny suggestions, which I'm forgetting them all now, but there were some funny ones.
Well, yeah, it was like work. And he's like, well, we have work. Like, that doesn't help.
Exercise and yoga and...
Yeah. Shore leave might be good.
Culber comes and tells Saru that the crew is not well mentally, and why would you be, as he says? You know, going 1,000 years in the future with nothing there. And so Saru decides he's going to lift the crew spirits, the senior crew spirits, with
all the crew that matters spirits,
all the crew
that,
with a dinner.
So well, I do enjoy the I'm a little concerned about the labor practices of the 23rd century, because when Culber's like, you should give him a day off, Captain Saru's like, day off?
Yeah,
he's like, whoa, come on. Like,
he's like, we got things to do.
No weekends in Starfleet.
There's buttons to push. You know what? And because you mentioned it, we're going to 5 shifts right now. So many shifts. I thought it would have been funny if, because obviously he had a bunch of different stuff on the table, and I'm hoping people sat down next to the culturally appropriate plate, you know, and just knew where to go.
I wonder, like
Linus, it's like, well, what is he eating versus, like, you know,
I'm worried about what Georgiou was eating. That's the problem there.
By the way, I was just gonna say, I thought it would be funny if, like, I mean, as a almost like a tongue-in-cheek bad humor, but like if there had been like a bowl of fortune cookies in the middle.
Oh yeah,
just
that would have been good, actually. That would have been a nice little callback.
Like, but almost like Saru purposely put it there, almost as like a nod of like, remember that terrible captain we had
that tried to kill us? Does he have a food? I don't know. Have a food for each captain previously. Hmm.
or Nan's eating like spaghetti and it's getting all caught in her respirator or something. But
I like them for pursuing the storyline, and I don't have like a big problem with it, whatever. I just felt like, I don't know, there was more you could get out of it, because I don't think we're still the whole moving to the future. Yes, that's traumatic, the whole post-traumatic progression.
Losing.
They lost me on that one. But anyway.
Oh, you're talking about, well, that's for Burnham. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But like for Detmer, I feel like there's a little more going on. There doesn't have to be, but it strikes me that there's more. Like the blood. I mean, that's a very trauma. I mean, that's not just, I'm in the future and I don't know where my, you know, I don't have a brother anymore.
Well, like I think we mentioned before, like that might harken back to like the Battle of the Binary Stars. I think we haven't quite gotten there yet, but
we're close. I mean, she does at the end of the episode by talking to Culber and saying, let's have the conversation, because she's obviously. I mean, I agree with you, Philip. There's parts of that, like that whole scene, that don't necessarily fit.
Because I mean,
but I mean, I like the effort. I like the goal.
It's one scene to do what would have taken like 5 scenes of everybody in a counseling room, like, but you can do it all in one scene
for a holodeck adventure. Because I mean, because I think everyone was, again, Georgiou, why do you invite her? Linus, is he senior staff? But whatever, we'll allow it.
He has a name. Okay, that makes him senior staff.
I'm like, I don't need comic relief every bloody scene. Anyway, let's do so. But I think, you know, Stamets and
humans, even the name is racist.
We're our big antagonist, for lack of a better word. So Detmer, we sort of talked about. Stamets, what's up with Stamets? What do you think?
Oh, Stamets
kind of
and Tilly?
He's kind
of
a jerk, right?
He apologized later, but he...
Where's it coming from?
I don't know. Well, it's kind of like Burnham's... I mean, heck, I liked how Culber just nailed her with the whole, like, you have this thing where it's all on you, where like the fate of the galaxy, the planet, the Federation,
complex.
Everything. Yeah, responsibility complex. And to an extent, I would say Stamets has that. Like, as so far as the spore drive. And he's kind of right, because it's him. If he gets injured again, like, that takes out their main propulsion. So I think I'm glad he kind of recognized that, just like Detmer needed to recognize that she wasn't all right.
Because, and again, maybe I missed something in season one, just possible. But when they went from, you know, Stamets having problems or challenges integrating with the interface and kind of being spaced out, I just feel like, you know, he's magically cured and we just moved on. I mean, it would be interesting to see if there are problems.
Yeah, I thought the last time we had left the spore drive, it was like, oh, never again. Like, this is killing Stamets. But now, apparently, it's not a big deal, and we're looking at ways to make other people interface with it.
It was mid-season one, because it was like, I'll do the one last, you know, Lorca's like, please, let's do one last jump. I know it's hurting you, but I'm going to pretend to be real nice here, you know, and they did the jump, and that's when he did the mare jump. But then, like, everything past that, we never address again, that was messing him up.
But I thought, to jump in the mirror universe, he did, like, the 500 jumps to, like, calculate. Isn't that how we got into the mirror universe?
No. It was...
No, that's not how they got into it.
No. The 500 jump was... It was something else. But anyway, moving on.
No, that the 500 jump was them getting into the mirror universe. Because it's during the Klingon War, and they're jumping around, and he's like, we need to do this to completely map out something about the cloaking of the Klingons. And then the very last jump, he hit a button, and it went to unknown, and that's what pushed him in the mirror universe.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant they did it on purpose. No, I was like, no.
I mean, Stamets, I mean, the captain did it on purpose, but I... Right. Anyway, I think we're thinking of the same event, just different ways.
Though, but I did... This is going to sound weird and a little bit heartless, but I'm going to go there. Like, with when Stamets and some of the other people who are at the table were starting to get a little rowdy, I just imagine, like, this would not happen under Lorca's command. Like, the professionalism... Not, you know, Captain Srushevin, excuse me, Commander, you know, but it's kind of like, I'm out of here. And I'm like, okay, come on, we're Starfleet officers. I get we're
having like, do you remember the captain we used to have? Yeah. Like, this is, you guys got it good now.
I was going to say, like, they did not bug out during Lorca. You know, he would be like, listen, you know.
He also would not have accepted haiku dinner games, but.
Unless they were in the fortune cookies.
I will say for sure that. Dinner entertaining at dinner is not Saru's strong point.
He does a lot of talking.
It was a good idea.
Yeah. It was a good idea. Yeah, and I hope, you know, we've seen this before, and I hope like it evolves into something like where you could kind of explore different characters and stuff like that. Having everybody on the bridge crew in that room at once, probably
yeah,
a little overkill
Drew,
for most of the time.
Giorgio, yeah. And Linus, and
oh yeah, Giorgio definitely. Yeah,
yeah, that was. Yeah, no.
Well, she's on the payroll. We got to do something.
I mean, she's also in the movie watching, eating her popcorn.
Her and Linus.
I don't know. I don't know why she's here at all.
No.
But
it's not clear.
Does.
There's
she has a contract.
No purpose. She has a contract. We just ended up with the worst version of Giorgio. If we ended up with good Giorgio, then things would be fine. Anyway.
Well, if we end up with Goodrejo, then she'd be the captain. And
yeah,
not
that's
Saru.
True. That's a good point.
Which,
yeah. So anyway, so the dinner falls apart, and then kind of everybody learns a lesson from it, right? And sort of apologizes / seeks help / Saru has an awesome moving night at the end of the episode. So
I would laugh if like the senior crew is like a surprise. It's not a giant dinner in the cargo bay, is it? Because
but
I didn't work last time.
By the way, I mean, this is just me being. Is Buster Keaton that funny? Like I don't know with the 23rd century pop culture. I mean, I get they're traumatized, so maybe they're just gonna
laugh
at anything.
I don't know. His stuff's actually pretty funny. You just got to be kind of in the mood for it. But it's like that kind of slapstick humor. It's a very easy comedy to translate to everybody because it's all physical based comedy. It's not like you have to get the joke because you understand the premise or anything. But it doesn't really
it's
work in like
really
clips.
Really cheap to use, as in
that's,
free.
That's yeah, true. That's
so,
true.
Cheap is free.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the writers of Discovery should use something like contemporarily and then be like, I don't know, in the 83rd century, it's no longer under it's in public domain. So. It's like, wait, you can't do that. But the time of our people, it's totally in the public domain. So
that would be awesome. Yeah. They just started showing Marvel movies or something.
Like, it's totally fine.
Suck it, Disney.
I
want to
see
trust.
Marvel movies in the shuttle bay. You just get
they could watch Star Wars. That would be pretty interesting. Huh?
That whenever.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, we need that. We need that. Thanks, man. There needs to be.
Make it happen. Yes. Make it happen. All you need, just the scene is like 8 seconds long, and all it is they start it, and you see the opening crawl, and everyone's like, "What?" And then the episode's over, and you're like, "Wait, but no, we want to see
just
the
need one
Star
line
Wars.
Where it's like." Episode 4 comes before episode 1, and then that's all you need to
know. Wait, or yeah, it's like episode 4, and they're like, wait, is this the first one?
Why are we watching this one now? I've watched the stuff in the behind it. Yeah, that'd be funny.
Or they're watching like the Battle of the Death Star, and they're like, these ships are terrible. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
They don't even have shields.
Yeah. They're like, why don't they just transport it? What, they don't have transporters?
George Jo is like, how do I make myself a lightsaber?
Yeah. She would definitely want one, for sure. All right, so closing thoughts. Anything you guys want to talk about that we didn't touch on? We got a cool opening shot. I really liked the opening shot with the worker bees Discovery. And we were
really going into the worker bees. I feel like, was that not the start of the last episode? I just feel like we keep seeing the worker bees.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was also... Well, oh, I had something I wanted to bring up. So it was an interesting thought. And so you know how the intro always changes slightly between seasons? Like in this one, you have like the worker bees multiply and you have...
The deltas are
The badges, the deltas change. But I realized, and I don't know if I'm going to give Discovery's writers and this much credit, but since the first season, the very beginning of the title sequence, there's red crystals floating around the Discovery, and it's very much like they're going through a field of like dilithium. Like, it's...
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Meaning, like, if I were to actually think that they thought they had this planned, like, hey, when we get to the future, dilithium's going to be a thing. Like, that's been in the, cause I never really understood that particular symbology in the title sequence, but now it actually makes total sense with the season 3.
I can see it.
The only reason I think that it could be intentional is that I do know that or it has come to light that apparently, you know, especially after Brian Fuller left, like they did want to get here quickly and maybe even like in season 2, but they had to push it to season 3. So in that regard, I'm like, okay, you're putting your intro together and you know by season 2 you're going to be in the 32nd century with like dilithium and stuff. Like I could see that, you know, being in the, but I don't know, it could just be coincidence, but I noticed that when watching this week's episode. I was like, I never really understood the red crystals until now, if that's what they are supposed to be.
Now, Daniel, I know you're our expert. Is there a difference between the red dilithium crystals versus the green dilithium crystals?
The green ones kill Superman. Okay. The red ones just turn him evil.
I get it.
Yes, yeah.
And that's why...
Gold dilithium will take Superman's powers away permanently, so you don't want him to get anywhere near that stuff. Yeah.
Is that why you formed Section 31 just to take down Superman in case he does turn evil? So,
Philip, that you wanted to just touch on about the episode?
I enjoyed it. Like, I just want to say again, I don't often say that with Discovery, but you know, the use of other characters. You know, I think you can't use every character every time in order for it to have meaning, as we said with the dinner scene. Like, he cut that cast in half. I mean, I'll give you names. Linus, Giorgio, out. And you can still have a meaningful scene. You can have all that heart. And we get to know these people a little bit better. Like,
tactical guy who's in the back. We don't really need him.
All their names. Reese, not Reese.
That sounds right.
Yeah, you know. But I would like to get to know them. They seem
not
like...
not Cyborg Lady because she's different now. Out
Ariana?
No.
It's definitely something AR.
Something I don't know.
No, it's Tilly, Stamets, Kohlberg, Oshman,
Michelangelo, Leonardo,
and Detmer. That's
Wu-Tang
it.
Clan. But yeah. So, but I think they do have a crew that I would like to learn more about. But just a season, like the whole group, like when Robo Lady died, we just had like the episode about Robo Lady. Though now we have blonde Robo Lady, not Robo Lady. But anyway,
doesn't blonde, not Robo Lady.
But I would like, you know, just like pick two, have that episode or B story with them. It'd be great. But I enjoy that they're trying. I like I said, you could have not had Michael, and you had this character who we just met last episode, and just had the story about them. And I'm interested. I'm in there. Just a person I just met, but it's intriguing. It's Star Trek lore. It's learning more. So, and it's a story about heart and relationships. And I do think it's interesting that we have the Trill, who is the most, I don't even know how to properly phrase this, but, you know, when you have different hosts, you know, you change genders, for lack of a better word, and then we have sort of a non-binary actor and then a trans actor. And, you know, I guess they don't say anything without saying anything, but I guess you kind of let that into your own mind about all the symbolism there. But yeah, I thought it was good, and because I did think, I thought it was odd, because they made a point of like, oh, we're having these two new actors, and like, oh, now that I think about it, like, oh, the boyfriend died, so it's just this episode of like, oh, now boyfriend's sticking around, so it'll be interesting to see how that all goes.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I really, you know, and we nitpicked a lot, and that's fine, because that's just kind of how we are, but I thought it was good. You know, I really... If it trends more in this direction, I'll definitely like this season more than the previous season.
I think
season.
We nitpick when there's a lot of meat to the story, because it's interesting to talk about. It's not even a nitpick. It's more just like analyzing. When there's not much to it, it's just like, okay, that happened.
Though I do have a question. Yeah. What do you all read into, because we're all about speculation, of course, when Adira gives Michael the coordinates? Like, I don't know what to read to Michael's reaction, because it felt like she knew, like, oh, I did the math, here you go. And Michael's like, these coordinates? Like, I mean, what is it? Is it like,
it's gotta be Booker
or something? That's, or what is it?
It's like, that's the beyond the galactic barrier. Like, we
that's
can't
where
go
my
there.
Brother's shuttle is. My God.
It's Vulcan? Is it Vulcan?
It could be Vulcan.
It's like, oh, it's his next planet over. Sorry, it's just we didn't need to go on the spiritual journey. I didn't pick up on that at all. That it was like something about those coordinates, but
yeah.
Then again, I only watched the episode once. Yeah.
You know what? We actually see in the next week on Discovery, we definitely see some sort of hierarchy and structure and organization. There's
I'm a little nervous about me and the Federation guys, because I'm worried that it's going to be like, I'm Badmiral so-and-so, yeah. And I don't
it's
care
a Badmiral.
That you have the ideals that we cherished in the past. You're going to do this now and go kill this planet or something. I don't know. So, yeah, why did we come here?
That brings me to something I'd forgotten about. When Jadzia, when Michael, is... bringing
Adira,
you know, and then the guy comes up and tries to challenge them, and she just starts stunning everybody to hell, and like, oh, that's not Federation standard, and Michael's like, whatevs, I do what I want.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
They came at us with giant tuning forks. What was I supposed to do?
They're coming right for us.
Yeah, that was new. That was. Anyways, so I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah. So Discovery, keep going this way.
Yeah, I like it.
This is
that's good.
Is more my place
next
for sure.
Next stop, Beta Zed. What's happening? What's going on?
I'd love to meet all the worlds we kind of don't know that much about. Just stop all of them, Federation worlds. Yeah.
No, I didn't see. I want, and then at the end of every episode, Michael goes into a room and she draws another star with like silver Sharpie on the flag. Which, again, we had that moment at the end, and honestly, I feel is the only reason Michael ever went to the planet was so he could have the moment at the end where they're like, you know, if you find the Federation, like, come back to us and maybe we'll join. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
I honestly didn't think about, like, she goes, the lady says, we will have a different kind of joining. And I'm like, wait a minute, is she hitting on Michael? What is happening here?
No, Federation. Joining the Federation. It'll be like tons of bureaucracy. Not enjoyable at all.
So anyways, yeah. So that was Forget Me Not. And I guess we'll
next,
see what happens.
We'll
next
die time. Trying.
Yeah.
Bad Merle.
It's going to be a bad.
God.
Just so you know. Okay. All right. So that's
like, he'll be like Admiral Die is his name.
Philip, if people wanted to talk to you about your favorite Buster Keaton film, how would they get a hold of you?
I mean, it's pretty clear in black and white what it is. They can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant.
And Darren, if people wanted to talk to you about all your past hosts' fan lives, like the Star Wars fan in you and the Babylon 5 fan in you.
And you're saying I die between fandoms? Because that's a bit much. But they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And they can find me on Twitter as well under the name 1UpDan. That's the number one, not the word. That's it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will catch you next time here on City Alpha 3. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Kilfus.
And I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here. On City Alpha 3.